Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's actually verse 35. Avesmin Krishyamananam Avidya Kama Karmabi Ranasmaranahani Krishyan Iti Chaitana. And yet others say that you appear for the sake of rejuvenating the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worship, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pains may take advantage and gain liberation. Purport. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that he appears in every millennium just to reestablish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture a new path of religion, as is a fashion for certain ambitious persons. The factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as the supreme authority and thus render service unto him in spontaneous love. A living being cannot help but render service because he is constitutionally made for that purpose. The only function of a living being is to render service to the Lord. The Lord is great and the living beings are subordinate to him. Therefore, the duty of a living being is just to serve him only. Unfortunately, the illusion of living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses by material desire. This desire is called vidya or nescience. And out of such desire, the living being makes different plans for material enjoyment centered around the perverted sex life. He therefore becomes entangled in the chain of birth and death by transmigrating under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Unless, therefore, one is beyond the boundary of this nescience, one cannot get free from the threefold miseries of material life. That is the law of nature. The Lord, however, out of his causeless mercy, because he is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect, appears before them and rejuvenates a principle of devotional service comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, praying, cooperating, and surrendering unto him. Adoption of the above-mentioned items or any one of them can help a conditioned soul get out of the tangle of nescience and thus become liberated from all material sufferings created by the living being, illusion by the external energy. This particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadandikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasude Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan. And I guess I'll be here to the end of the month. But it's been such a wonderful month. So many people are visiting here. Sometimes coming alone, sometimes coming in groups of people. A very simple program. They give class in the morning. They give class in the afternoon. And many, many people are coming just for, here, just to chant and hear like that. And then sometimes direct them to different places. Right now, I wish people, I don't know if you know them all, but Sue Davy, she lives in Alaska, a god sister, Jai Bhadra, and this kirtan band named the Shanti People, and Bryn from Yoga Maya, and Lisa from New York, and Dana Flynn from Laughing Lotus, and Kishori Radha will come in a few days, and Gokishore, and it's just so many people. And Vrindavan is a very, very special place to get faith. And what faith is actually, faith is not just the mind. Faith is an experience of the soul. But in one sense, we can also say faith is the condition of the mind that allows us to have the experience of the soul. So in one sense, we can say faith is a sense of the mind that allows us to experience God. And I just see that people coming to Vrindavan in the right mood and focused, and they just have profound experiences of the soul. Because the objects of devotion that can stir the soul are very much enhanced here. It even says in Nectar Devotion that in the five most potent items of devotional service are chanting Hare Krishna and hearing the stories of Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshiping the deity, and Mathura Vas, actually staying in this place. And Krishna Balaram Mandir is exceptionally well-managed place. Where we had a Nityananda's appearance day, they spent $5,000 on flowers. And I don't know who does these, but it's just a manifestation of love. And the community is wonderful. You actually feel that there's a community, that there's a unit here that's very broad and inclusive and welcoming. There's so many varieties of people. And when you have a community that kind of has, a kind of a tacit agreement to be part of something greater than yourselves, even if you're at the periphery of it, but acknowledge it, it just creates a situation where that it removes the obstacles and impediments to having that experience. And what to speak of going to very choice holy places that are imbued with devotion. So it's a very, very enlivening time. And now we'll just speak about the verse. And what we're seeing now is, and I have explained this many times, that the first canto is just really a response to the sages of the Namashranya's desire to hear something about the interesting history of the Bhagavatam, which is Vyasadeva and Sukadeva and Marj Pikit. And now Sutta Goswami is explaining about Maharaj Parikit. And that starts at his birth. I'm going to make this really quick because I said it many times. It starts at Maharaj Parikit's birth, where we're introduced to Krishna, who saves him. And that means it's also the end of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It's a very, very interesting historical or literary technique where we're being told a history and we're being told the story of Maharaj Parikit. But it's so interesting, his story, the reason why they want to hear it is because he's so unique that he's perfect in his birth, perfect in his life, and perfect in his death. And so following his birth, life, and death, that perfection is his association with Krishna. That's perfection. Because perfection, as Prabhupada said, the perfected state of living entity is called the devotee. So perfection is really the natural state. What's the perfection of your body? It's the natural state. It's free from anything against the natural state of the body. So there's a natural state of the universe, a harmonious state, a dharmic state of the universe, where there is an absolute reality and everything is coordinated with that absolute reality. And that coordination is called harmony, beauty, or happiness. When I give the example of a symphony orchestra, it's a unit. And it's meant to cooperate to produce something. And when one finds out, when one has its role and participates, then that's the greatest joy. So that connection with Krishna. Connection with Krishna means connection with ourselves. Just as much as they say connection with the sun means you can see yourself. Without the sun, you can't see yourself. So that connection with Krishna, we're seeing. And that makes him glorious. So we're seeing what it means to be connected with Krishna. And being connected with Krishna means to love Krishna. Because Krishna is a person. And we have a natural connection with him. And that connection is called prema, prema for Martha Maham. The metaphysics of Krishna is that there's God and God's energies. And then the means of realizing him, that's called abhitattva, yahan. The means of realizing him is bhakti. And the piyojana, the result, is the experience of doing so. So when you experience reality, and reality is God, when you experience God, the experience of God is our natural relationship and love for God.